Whitlow, evangelist from Virgilina, Virginia. We're honored to have him with us for the marathon this week, and I'm glad he could come on in and preach for us tonight. So you pray for him as he preaches. Brother Whitlow, you come on and take time as you need. That's your water. And God bless you, brother. Bless glad you, to brother. Have you.
Amen. Joy to be here. Amen. Good to see you tonight. Amen. If you take your Bible, open to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter number 15. I want to read a few verses here, and we'll look at some other verses tonight. Certainly, it's a joy to be here. Amen. And I anticipate the blessings of God. Amen. The goodness of the Lord. Amen. The house of God. Amen. I believe you get talking about Him, He'll show up. Amen. That's right. Matthew chapter 15, I'll read a few verses here. And the thought we want to bring tonight is God would lead. Verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs, eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, we do thank you for the mercy and the grace of God. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight you would honor your word. You'd speak to our heart through your word tonight. Lord, and I pray you'd encourage every child of God. May we leave this place with a greater appreciation of the goodness of God and the blessings of God in our lives. Lord, if that be one in our midst unsaved, Father, I pray tonight you'd convict that one and draw them to Jesus Christ, that they too might be saved by the grace of God. Bless us, I pray, Lord, in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to set this back here. Somebody might knock it over, amen. It's certainly good to be with you, amen. I mean that in the depths of my heart. I'm going to lay my watch right there, and I don't know if it'll do any good, but it's laying there anyway, amen. And we'll try to be mindful of the time, amen. We've got really several days ahead of us. Full days, amen. And y'all are well familiar with that. And I trust that God truly would bless us as we labor. And I enter into your labor, amen, and I look forward to it, amen. I trust that God will bless tremendously, amen, and just open the windows of heaven and pour the honey bucket over on us, amen. Be good, amen. Marathon breakout and revival, be good, amen. Be real good, amen. And I'd like to say I appreciate Allen Ford Baptist Church and your faithful support of our ministry. I appreciate from the depths of my heart. Oh, what a blessing, amen, you are to us. And we pray for you often, amen. And I pray that God's blessing would be upon you as you labor for Him, amen. We're laborers together for the cause of Christ, amen. There's no big I's and little U's, amen. Just servants of the Most High God, amen. And we've got a good God. Tonight, I've read these scriptures here in Matthew chapter 15. And I want to bring a message tonight as God would help me. Verse number 27. Where our Lord, this lady replies back to our Lord as he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And I want to preach a little bit tonight as God would help me on crumbs from the master's table. Eating the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And really to see better, I think, if we're by way of introduction, back in Matthew chapter number 10, we look at a few scriptures here and just want to kind of touch on some things here that leads up to this chapter number 15. Can I take my coat off, brother? Would it be all right? Amen. I was going to do it. I just wanted permission. Amen. Amen. But here in Matthew chapter number 10, we have our Lord as He calls His 12 disciples and commissions them to go out and preach the Word of God. In verse 1, He called unto Him His 12 disciples and gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And He gives the names of these 12 disciples, and He says in verse number 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the any city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here we have the commission of our Lord to the 12 disciples. Of course, this is not our commission today. Amen. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. Whosoever will may come. But we see here as the Lord, He sends out His disciples. He has sent to the house of Israel. And He's told them, don't go in the way of the Gentiles, nor the Samaritans. Of course, you know the Samaritans, they were half-breeds. Had intermarried with the Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles had intermarried. And He said, don't go into their way, but just preach and minister to the Israelites, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so they go out. And many things could be said about their ministry, but I want you to point that because I believe that has bearing on chapter number 15 when we get there. But as we get on, if you get on to Matthew chapter number 11 now, we're just going to hit a few places here. We find here our Lord has been in rejection by Israel. And, of course, I don't have time to read all this. I'm going to break in verse number 16. And this is our Lord speaking. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. And of course, that John, speaking of John the Baptist. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Boy, aren't you glad he's the friend of sinners. Amen. And it sounds like that gang of Jews couldn't be satisfied. Amen. They condemned John the Baptist, rejected him as he preached the Word of God and announced the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and called upon the nation of Israel to prepare, to repent, and prepare their hearts to receive their King. But they rejected John the Baptist's ministry and they didn't receive him as a prophet of God or the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, you know the story. He winds up in jail, and, of course, they cut his head off and so on. But here, as he mentioned how they have rejected John the Baptist, and they have as well rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, the nation of Israel, as a nation, now there are individual Jews that believed on him. Just like there are today individual Jews that are saved, and whosoever will can come, Jew or Gentile, it matters not, your nationality, your race, who you are, what your background is, your heritage is, how much money you got, who your relatives are, it matters not, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died for all, amen, and He'll save anybody that'll come to Him on God's terms. God's not making any deals. Amen. The only deal God's making is Jesus Christ. Amen. And He shed His precious blood. Come in repentance and faith of Christ and He'll save you. Outside of that, He won't save you. Amen. He's a door that'll open unto you and let you in, and He's a door that'll slam shut.
That's right.
And see to it that you don't get in if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But here he's mentioned to these Jews, and he gives the question, starts out in verse 16, whereunto shall I liken this generation? And he's talking about their rejection of how they have rejected him. And he goes on in verse 20, he talks about how that they didn't repent. And he gives comparison of cities, how they would have repented, but Israel wouldn't repent. And then he gets to verse number 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, a lot of folks talk about in this day and hour, you hear it quite a bit, it seems, it's so hard to live a Christian life. Really? Really? Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The word of the Lord says in the Proverbs that the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen? But he said, come, the hard part today we have in religious people trying to live a Christian life.
Right.
Amen. You're just a church member. You've never been saved, but you're trying to fit in.
Right.
You're trying to live up to the expected behavior of a Christian, but you don't have Christ in you. You don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Thus, you have no power. Amen? And that's a hard life to try to live in the energy of the flesh. Amen? You'll never get that done. Amen? And maybe, perhaps, that's why it seems so hard for you to be a Christian. You know, if I live until tomorrow, amen, and I may die tonight. We don't know when we're going to die. But if I live till tomorrow, amen, it'll be 42 years. Tomorrow, preacher, is my spiritual birthday. Amen? I got saved by the grace of God 42 years ago tomorrow. Amen? Now, 42 years ago, July the 19th was on a Monday. Amen. And I got saved on the Monday night, first night of a two-week tent revival in Custer Springs, Virginia. Amen. And I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I didn't own a Bible. I couldn't quote John 3:16. I didn't know anything about religion. I mean, I didn't know the difference between Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Lutherans and Catholics and everything. I didn't know anything about all that. I mean, I knew there were different buildings through the community that had different names wrote on the sign. But I didn't know what that meant. I didn't own the Bible. I never read the Bible. I said, never read it. I didn't own. We had one Bible. I married my wife then, and when we got married, somebody gave us one of these big Bibles, big as a briefcase, you know. Used to be it's decorations on the coffee table. Amen. People don't have coffee tables anymore. Amen. But it one of those big old Bibles, and I'd gotten under conviction, been under conviction about a year and a half before I got saved, and I had opened that big old Bible and began to read some because I had questions in my heart and mind, and I was looking for answers, and of all the places to begin reading in the Bible, preacher, I began in Revelation, the book of Revelation. Now, why, I don't know, amen. I didn't understand much about what I was reading, amen, of all the things that's coming on, but I understood this. I'm going to be in the middle of all this because I'm not saved. I ain't right with God, and I'm in for the judgment of God. But that's the only Bible I had. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16 when I got saved, and there's nothing special about me. I'm just a common sinner saved by the grace of God. But I'm saying to you, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Be 42 years tomorrow, amen, that God saved me, amen. And I'd say it's sweeter now than it was when I got saved, amen. And I don't find it a hard thing to be a Christian, amen. Come on, talk to me. I found its burdens light, amen. He said, get in the yoke with me. And I'm not preaching on this tonight, but he said, get in the yoke. And a yoke is for two oxen to pull, two people, if you please. And Jesus is on the one side, amen. And he says for you and I that are saved to get in on the other side. He's doing all the work. He's pulling all the load, amen. And we're to give him all the glory. Amen. I'm glad we got a great God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But the word I want you to see in verse 28, note now, in chapter 10, it sent those disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. You with me? He told them, don't go in the way of the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of Israel. Here in verse 28, see if you see anything a bit different. Come unto me, all ye. Amen. We see here because of the rejection of Israel of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is becoming a turning point in His ministry to whosoever will. Amen. And if you go on over that word, all speaks of that. And of course, chapter 12, and I don't have time to look at all this. Chapter 12, verse 50,
You'll find whosoever for the first time in your New Testament. You'll find the word whosoever used. Amen. And it's used by our Lord Jesus Christ. They came and said, your mother and your brethren outside want to talk to you. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? But he that doeth the will of my Father, he the same is my brother and my sister. Amen. And whosoever will can come. And then you've got the seven parables there in Matthew chapter 13 that speak about the kingdom of heaven, which is really in prophecy concerning the church age. Amen. Not so much the church, but the church age. Amen. When you study your Bible, you need to differentiate there between the church and the time period that the church is called out. A lot of things go on. Those seven letters there in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 are the seven letters sent to seven local churches. Those seven letters are prophetic about the church age, of how it's going to start out in Ephesus with Jesus in the midst of the church, winds up in Laodicea with Jesus on the outside knocking, wanting to get in. Amen. It's talking about the apostles, and I'm not preaching all that, but it's talking about the age. Amen. Not the church, but the church age, and how things are going to happen and how things will unfold. And I'm not preaching on that, but he deals with that net. Remember that the parable of the dragnet? Amen. And he pulled that net in, and it had all kinds of fish in it. Amen. Amen. Jew and Gentile. Amen. Church, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't get into all that, but I'm saying to you, he is teaching and pointing to the fact there is a turning point in his ministry, a turning to the Gentile. Now, when we get over to chapter 15, the scripture that we read, and of this woman of Cana, and in Mark chapter 7, the parallel scripture to this, it tells us this woman was a Syrophoenician woman. She's a Gentile woman. She's not a Jew, but a Gentile, an outcast, alienated from the common wealth of Israel. And she comes to watch this woman. And Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. That seems a bit unusual, doesn't it? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet. It's not the wise thing to do at this time to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Amen. And he begins to deal with this woman. Now I want to look at three things here about our Lord's dealing with this woman and the crumbs that fall from the master's table. First off, I think we need to understand something about the magnificence of the master's table. Amen. The master's table. The table that he had prepared for the children. Are you with me? Amen. This table is prepared for his children. Amen. You know, I think about whenever I read this about the table, I can't help but I think about Psalm 23. Amen. Where the psalmist said, the Lord will set a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Right. Amen. I think about Psalm 78. Amen. As a minute, I guess you would say, history of God bringing his children out of Egypt's land and bringing them across the Red Sea and over into Canaan land. And the Bible says there that they spake against God. They complained. They bound them in Baptist. Somebody say amen. Complained about what God was doing. And they complained in this way. Said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? And Psalm 78 is involved with explaining how God provided that table and supplied their every need and met their need through miraculous things throughout the nation of Israel. And that's the thing here, the master's table. What does it mean? What is it talking about? And if you will, turn over to Romans. Romans chapter number 1. And then we're going to be in Romans chapter 9 just a minute to see, I think, something about this table. I said Romans 1 and Romans chapter number 3, verse number 1 and 2. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. I'm talking about the table, the master's table. The Bible says in verse number 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Oh, what profit is there of circumcision? He answers this question in verse 2. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them, that is, unto the Jew, to Israel, were committed the oracles of God. This Bible that I'm preaching from tonight is a Jewish book. Amen. We have a Jewish Bible. Amen. The oracles of God, the Word of God, was committed to Israel. All the prophets were Jews. Amen. All the apostles were Jews. Amen. You with me? Amen. We have a Jewish Bible. Amen. Now, if you turn over to Romans chapter 9, we can see, I believe, enumerated some things that God set on the table for Israel. And we can understand somewhat about this story and what's the significance of it. Verse number 4, I'm in Romans 9, verse number 4. Who are Israelites? And of course, he's talking about his people, his kinsmen, that he had a great burden for, that he could wish himself accursed from Christ for his kinsmen, that they might be saved. What a burden the Apostle Paul carried for his people. Israel, God help us today. But his kinsmen, who are Israelites, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Watch this now, verse number 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Note some several things he mentions here. To whom pertaineth the adoption? Now this adoption he's talking about, it's not the adoption he's talking about in chapter 8, talking about our adoption, the redemption of our body. This adoption he's talking about here pertains to Israel. Are you with me? It's talking about the adoption of Abraham, as God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees. Are you with me? Abraham was a Gentile heathen. You with me? Amen. He was a pagan idol worshiper. And God saved him by the marvelous grace of God. And called him and said, leave your kindred, leave your people. And he made a covenant with Abraham and adopted Abraham. And God, through Abraham and the seed of Abraham to follow, God created a nation of people, separated, a peculiar people they call, separated unto God. And he said, I'll make of thee a great nation. Genesis chapter 12, I'm not going to turn back there, it'll be too long there. He said, I'll make of thee a great nation. He said, I'll through thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. Speaking about through Christ. Amen. And he said, those that bless thee, I'll bless them. Those that curse thee, I'll curse them. And God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham, as Abraham was adopted out of heathenism into the family of God. And God used him as the foundation of the nation of Israel. That's what he's talking about. I'm talking about the table. God is making a table of great spiritual benefit to the children of Israel. He's called Abraham. It pertaineth the adoption. Amen. And then it says the glory. Praise God. I like that glory. Baptists don't know much about it, but I like it. Don't you? Amen. The glory. Amen. Nobody has ever known the glory of God like the nation of Israel. You remember when they came out of Egypt's land, crossed the Red Sea, and began to travel across that desert land. And the Bible said, a pillar of a fire by night and a pillar of a cloud by day. And the glory of God moved, and they moved their camp as the glory, as the cloud moved, they moved. You with me? They have the glory of God. No heathen nation all round about them. The Gentile nations, and they no doubt maybe at a distance observed what was going on. And this cloud would move, and by night a fire there, amen, a protection for the nation of Israel. And they saw that, but no nation that worshipped a heathen God had ever had their God to manifest himself in a cloud of glory. And as it went on to the, as he talks about the giving of the law Amen. You go to Mount Sinai and God and the great cloud comes down at Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on top of the mount and for 40 days he's up there and receiving the law of God. Amen. He comes back and they assemble and build the tabernacle and all of its furnishing, all of its beauty and its glory. And the Bible said, if that mercy seat between the cherubims, the glory of God would come down. The Shekinah glory of God Almighty pertaining to Israel is the glory of God. God has never manifested Himself to anybody like He did to the people of Israel. I'm talking about the Master's table, the table that the Master set for Israel. The glory pertaineth unto Him, the glory. The covenants. The covenants. Amen. Are you listening to me? Can I say to you, now this may, you may have to think about this a little bit, but God has never made a covenant with a Gentile people. Read that Bible, amen. God has only made a covenant with the nation of Israel. You with me? You with me? Even in the, we are in the new covenant now, the New Testament. That wasn't made with Gentiles. It wasn't even made with the church. Hebrews 8, 9, 10. Amen. That new covenant was made with the nation of Israel. They have not yet tapped into it or received the benefits of it. Amen. They are the natural olive branch. But they have been cut off because of their rejection and they're smitten with blindness and the spirit of slumber has come upon them. And they just can't see spiritually. Are you with me? And the natural olive branch has been cut off. But you and I, the Gentile church, has been grafted in. Amen. To the new covenant that God's made with Israel. Amen. He said, I'll write my laws upon their heart. You go and read it. Amen. And you and I are the recipients of this covenant, though God's made it with Israel. And the day is coming when He returns and a nation's going to be born in the day. Amen. And they're going to see Him whom they have pierced. And they're going to ask Him, where did you get your wounds? And He said, in the house of my friends. Amen. A nation will be born in the day. Amen. You talking about revival. You talking about it being on, amen? When Israel's eyes, the scales, are lifted from their eyes and they see Him in His glory and recognize who He is and believe upon Him and worship Him and He ascends the throne of His father David to rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. It's going to be on. Amen. In this world, what a day it's going to be. And you and I are going to rule and reign with Him. Amen. I want to get into all that tonight. But it talks about the covenant. It talks about the giving of the law. The law of God was given to Israel. It wasn't given to the pagan lands round about and the Gentile nations all around Israel. It wasn't given to the Canaanites. This woman that came to Him in Matthew 15 was from the Canaans. She's a Canaanite. Amen. A Syrophoenician woman. It wasn't given to the Gentile. It was given to the Jew. Amen. The Jews said, watch what it says here. And the service of God. In the law of God contained the instructions of the service of God. I'm talking about the table, the Master's table that He prepared for His children. And He gave them the instructions of the priesthood. And the priest came from the Aaron's lineage, amen. Not from some heathen somewhere. And He gave them the instructions of the sacrifice and the lamb and how to bring that sacrifice. He gave them the mercy seat. He gave them all the directions about the sacrifice. Right. It was to the nation of Israel that God gave the instructions about the Day of Atonement. He went to the nation of Israel that high priest was to go in there to the mercy seat. Amen. And there before that mercy seat, having slain that innocent lamb, He took that blood and He sprinkled the ground right in front of the mercy seat. You with me? He sprinkled that ground in front of the mercy seat. And that made that ground. And by the way, that priest was barefooted. He's barefooted. And that means that he's still in touch with the earth. You with me? He's still in touch with the earth. That's telling me that that priest is still a sinner. That we got a high priest that's not a sinner. He's separate from sin. Amen. But that in the Israel's day, that priest is barefooted in touch with the earth, and he speaks that blood and sprinkles on the ground in front of that mercy seat. Then he steps on that place of the sprinkled blood. Then he can sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and make atonement for the people. And that place right there is what we know as the propitiation. The word propitiation means a place to stand right with God.
Amen.
You with me? That's what the word propitiation means. A place to stand right with God. And that priest, and they kept bells on the garments, amen, and a rope around his ankle in case God smote him, amen, they could drag him out of there. You with me? Amen. But when he sprinkled that blood and stood on the blood, amen, it made him in a right standing before God. Are you listening? All of this is a picture and a type of what God's going to do through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're only right with God as you stand upon the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave all this to service. It was the Levites. They had the service of the tabernacle. Jews, Israelites, as they moved that tabernacle from place to place. And then later on in the temple, it was the Levites that did all the work and occupied the temple. Amen? It's Israel that He gave all this. It was Israel that He gave instructions of the way to God and how to approach God and what God expects and demands. It's Israel that God gave this. He set the table for Israel. Watch this further. Says, and the promises. Boy, I want to get into all this tonight. The promises. It was to Israel that God made the promises. Whose are the fathers? And that's speaking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob, the patriarch. They were the fathers. Are you with me? Of God's people. Amen. And then he says, and whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. Jesus was a Jew. Of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Amen. He didn't come through a Gentile lineage.
Right.
Although he had some Gentiles back in his lineage.
Amen.
He came from the tribe of Judah. You with me?
Yes.
Amen. He came to Israel. He was Israel's Messiah.
Amen.
Amen. You and I, we have no Messiah. You go like this. Amen. You and I, the Gentiles, we have no promise of a Messiah. We've got a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Amen. But we have no promise of a king. God has made no promise of land to you and I, to the church, to the Gentile people, or as the church. We have not one square inch of land promised to us in the Word of God. But yet God promised Israel land, and they've never occupied all of it as yet, but they will. Amen. You rest assured, Jesus is coming. And when He comes, they will occupy every square inch of what God promised Abraham. Amen. God gave all this to them. And Christ came, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came to Israel. The Bible says, John chapter 1, He came unto His own Israel. But His own received Him not. He set the table. He had called out Israel. And the sad part about it, Israel was such a miserable failure. Yes. Amen. They kept running after idols and the sins and the people. And He told them when He brought them into Canaan's land, He said, now, don't learn the ways of the heathen. So you go into the place, there's buildings that you didn't build, there's vineyards that you didn't plant, and everything's ready, made, and provided for you. Don't learn the ways of the heathen, pagan, God-hating people there. What good admonition today, isn't it, for a child of God? They'll learn the ways of the heathens. But oh, what did Israel do? Boy, they come into the land of Canaan, and boy, it's one idol after another. Amen. They're like a roller coaster. Amen. They get right with God, and God would... And then they'd sin, and God have to judge them, and up and down, up and down, up and down. Amen. So much so that when Jesus come, they didn't even recognize Him.
That's right.
When He came, He had all the labels of the prophecy of the coming Messiah upon Him. fulfilling the Scripture and fulfilling all righteousness. But yet they didn't recognize Him as the Son of God. They didn't recognize Him as their Messiah. They said He's a child of fornication. He's not the Messiah. Matter of fact, that's the only indictment that they finally come up with to justify in their mind the crucifixion of Christ. And when they asked Him, "Art thou the Christ?" And He said, "Thou sayest." And they rent their garments and said, "Thou hast blasphemed, for thou makest thyself equal with God and calleth thyself the Christ of God."
Yes,
and He is the Christ of God. But they didn't recognize Him as that. Israel was blind to Him when He came. They'd been 400 years from Malachi to John the Baptist with no prophet, no fresh word from God. John the Baptist comes on the scene, amen, out in the wilderness preaching repentance toward God, amen, and said, "Turn, amen, and get ready for the coming Messiah. He's on His way." But they didn't believe Him, nor did they believe the Lord Jesus Christ when He began to preach. They rejected Him. I'm saying to you, the table that was set, now back over to Matthew 15, the table that the Master set was for Israel. Everything was set. What advantage is it of being a Jew, Paul asked in Romans 3? Much in every way. Unto them were the oracles of God. Unto them was the adoption. Unto them were the promises of God. Unto them were the covenants of God. Unto them the Messiah came. Much in every way. We had no covenant. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. With me? Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that we were cut off from a Gentile people. We were cut off from the commonwealth of Israel. We had no covenant. We had no prophet. We had no priest. We had no Bible. We had nothing. Nothing. God made no covenants with us. But I'm glad, thank God, He included us in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now let's look back here at the text and we'll be done in a little bit if you'll stay with me. We see the magnificence of this table that they're talking about here. And then I want you to see in chapter 15, see the humility of this woman. Look as she begins to approach our Lord, verse number 22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.'" Verse 23. "But He," Jesus, "answered her not a word." To me, that's an odd statement. When just back a little bit, He said, "Come unto me all ye that labor." Remember? Matthew 11, 28, we just read it a moment ago. "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." He said in Matthew 12 and verse number 50, "Whosoever will do the will of my Father is my brother."
Right.
Amen. Now comes this Gentile woman. And evidently this woman, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but she's a Gentile. She's a pagan. She's an idol worshiper. You with me? But somewhere along the line, this woman has heard about Jesus.
Right.
She could have been in some of the crowds or where some of the healing. She could have been there in the outside of the crowd. Many things that went on. The feeding of the 5,000. And all this is recorded just previous to this. And she could have been involved in some of that. If she wasn't, she no doubt heard about it. For these things were noised abroad throughout the land. And she'd heard about this miracle working man they called Jesus. And no doubt she had heard that the Jews called Him, "Thou son of David."
That's right, amen.
And so she's got a real need. Her daughter is vexed with a devil. And evidently, probably, she tried the pagan gods. They couldn't deliver her from the devil.
That's right.
No doubt she had done all that she could within her own abilities and her own wisdom to help her daughter, but to no avail. So she hears of this man Jesus, actually, who has come to be secluded away from Israel. And this woman evidently hears about it. And matter of fact, you read earlier, he went into a house and told us, "Don't tell anybody we're here." But this woman found out somehow that he's there. And she comes, and I'm talking about her humility. Her first approach to Jesus Christ is a false pretense. You'll never get in touch with God on a false pretense. She came and said, "Oh Lord, thou son of David." That's what the Jews have been saying. That's what the blind man said, Barnabas, side the road. He came, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. Healed his blinded eyes. So she's trying to approach Christ. Are you listening to me? As a Jew. But she's not a Jew. It's not fit for her to eat from the table. You with me? She's a Gentile. Therefore, that's why Jesus didn't answer her word. She's not of the children of Israel. And he goes on to explain to disciples, "I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's going to save whosoever will, but it's not time yet.
Right.
You with me? God works on a time scale and a program. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Amen. You and I sometimes don't quite understand all that he's doing. But he knows. And he says nothing to this woman. He answered not a word because she came with a false pretense, pretending to be somebody she wasn't. Boy, and there's a lot of people that come down to altars and pray prayers and cry crocodile tears trying to get saved. But somehow or another they come with a mindset that I'm not really all that bad. I just need a little insurance program in case. Amen. We come in false pretense. Some, I'm sure, today, I think that I've met many this way. They think because mama and daddy were saved and served God and loved the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow they're going to grandfather in on mama and daddy's faith. But you'll not do it. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Ye individual, personal, you must individually come to Jesus Christ. And you'll never get to Jesus Christ trying to ride somebody else's coattail to Jesus Christ. This is what she was doing. He wouldn't answer her. Verse 23, disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." Evidently, when Jesus didn't answer, she turned to the disciples. I mean, she no doubt had heard about them. Remember in Matthew 10, he had sent those 12 disciples out with power over unclean spirits and power to heal all manner of disease. And she had heard, no doubt, of some of the mighty miracles that they had done in the communities and round about. So she said, "If he won't answer me, I'll consult with them." And she's following them around, pleading for her daughter is vexed with the devil. No doubt crying and wailing for help and relief and her needs to be met. But Jesus had told them, "Go ye not in the way of the Gentile. Go not in the way of the Samaritans." And they evidently had answered not a word either. And they come to the Lord and say, "Lord, do something for this woman. She's worrying us everywhere we go. This woman's father, she's crying. She makes a scene. And she's loud and obnoxious. And she troubles us. Says she crieth after us all the time. Lord, do something for this woman." She'd go on back to the house where she belongs. Amen. But watch this woman. I'm talking about her humility. She first approaches in false pretense. Verse number 23. We see that as she continues on, how long this went on, a day, 2 days, 3 days, we don't know how long this went on.
Right.
But it went on for a period of time. She's harassing, if you please, these disciples because she has a real need and she'll not be satisfied till it's met.
Right.
And she's after them and it shows that she has a serious heart about her need being met. And friend, nobody will get anything from God. Nobody will be saved. Nobody will be blessed after you're saved unless we have a serious mind
That's right.
about our approach to God. but our needs being met. That we won't be satisfied, much like Jacob was when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And said, turn me loose. He said, I'll not turn you loose until you bless me.
Amen.
He had a real need. Jacob was going to face Esau. Amen. And he had a real need. Amen. And he wasn't going to be satisfied until God blessed him. And God did bless him. And you know the story there. But here we see a serious seeker she is as she follows these disciples around everywhere they go, pleading for that power to be invested in her daughter, that the devil be delivered from her. But watch further in verse number 24 and 25. Evidently the disciples came and spoke to him. He answered, and I think from the context we'd have to conclude that he's answering the disciples. He's not talking to this lady. Whether it was in hearing distance of the lady, we don't know. It kind of lends itself that it may have been. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. We see the earnestness and contriteness, a broken and a contrite heart. Bible says God will not despise.
Right.
This woman came and she said, she came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. Help me. She was begging for his attention. She was pleading for his mercy. And she worshipped him. Amen. I'm telling you, business is picking up. Amen. This is a Gentile nobody that's bowing at his feet. And the children are rejecting him. But this nobody is bowing and worshiping and pleading, Lord, help me. We see the earnestness and contriteness of a heart. And the word contrite means a heart that's longing for change. A heart that longs for God's grace to change them. To answer their plea. We see that in verse number 25. And further, we see in verse number 26 and 27. Now Jesus is speaking, and he answered and said, speaking to the lady, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Well, that's a pretty bold statement, is it not?
Yeah.
Amen. I wouldn't advise anybody to do this.
Right.
You don't look at a woman and call her a dog.
Right.
You got trouble on your hands.
Yep. Yep.
Amen. And when you get up off the ground after that ball bat hits you in the head, you'll probably learn after that not to call them a dog. Amen. But Jesus looks at this woman as she's been resisting probably at least a day, maybe two or three days. And the disciples are wearied and bothered. Jesus finally turns and says, it's not meat. It's not wise. It's not the time for me to take the children's bread and cast it to a dog.
Right.
I mean, look at her eyeball. To cast it to a dog like you are. That's what he was saying.
Right.
Yeah. Watch what she says. Oh, listen to her. She said, truth, Lord.
Right.
Truth, Lord. I'm talking about the humility. Her honest confession. Truth, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm just a nobody. I don't deserve anything. I have no rights. I understand that I come in a false pretense, calling you thou son of David, trying to impress you. But my religion, when I have no religion, I have nothing. I'm an outcast. I'm an alien from the commonwealth. I'm just a sinner, lost without God. I'm just a dog, outcast. Never been to a temple service. Never been to a priest to offer an offering to me. I've never known anything about a priest praying for me. I'm a nobody. Truth, Lord. I'm a dog and an outcast and worthless. That's what she's saying. She humbled herself. You listening? She humbled herself. You'll never get saved. And if you are saved, you'll never get any answers and blessings from God unless we humble ourselves and walk and live humbly. before God. Pride has no place in a Christian's life. We got nothing to be proud of. We're nothing but dogs. Outcasts. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing but sinners. If you're saved tonight, whenever it was that God saved you, myself would be 42 years ago. I can hardly believe it. I know you don't believe it. I look like I'm 30. Amen. You'd hardly believe I've been saved 42 years, but I have. 42 years. The night that God saved me under that canvas tent in Cluster Springs, Virginia. And I rode by that spot this morning on the way up here.
Amen.
Pine trees tall in this building on it. Little field, place where the tent was. And every time I go by it, I say, thank you, Lord, for a little spot of ground where you saved my soul. But I said that to say this. God could have picked me up and flung me into hell that night and been just and been right and been just as much God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Worthy of nothing. Just a dog. Must humble ourselves. And not only that, we must humble ourselves. Are you listening?
Amen.
And receive the reproof and the rebuke of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The rebuke of the Word of God.
Yep.
The rebuke of our sin.
Yep.
The rebuke of who we are. The rebuke of what we are. The rebuke of our lifestyle without God and the fact that we are unworthy, that we are dirty, that we are a stench in the nostrils of God.
Right.
Nothing but sinners. We must receive that rebuke, much like the woman at the well in John 4. And I don't have time to get on this, but you know the story when he comes to the well and this woman comes and asks for a drink of water and he asks her for a drink of water. And she's astounded, being a Samaritan, a half-breed. And she said, what about being, she could look at him and tell he was a Jew. Amen. He said, thou, being a Jew, askest me for a drink of water. She's astounded. And he answered her, said, if you knew who it was that would ask you for a drink of water, you'd ask him, and he'd have gave you living water. And she said, from whence? Whence drawest thou this living water? Thou hast nothing to draw with. Amen. She didn't understand what he's talking about. And he went on and said, go get your husband. She inquired and related. She wanted to know more about this water. He said, go get your husband. Wonder why he said that. He could have just dealt with that woman. He didn't have to say that. You with me?
Yes, sir.
But he said, go get your husband. God's a family man.
Amen.
Go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, that was well said. The man that you're with now, the man you're shacked up with now is not your husband. But you've had five husbands. Then she said, well, she really getting wise now. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know more about me than you're supposed to know about me. Amen.
Right.
Finally, the woman does get saved and she runs into town and she tells all the men, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Surely this is the Christ.
Amen.
But now really, he didn't tell her all things that she'd ever done. Did? I mean, he only talked about the five husbands and the live-in that she had. He didn't tell her everything that she'd done.
Right.
But I'm sure she was convinced if he knew that,
right,
he knows all the rest of it too. Amen. He knows everything that I've done. If he knows this and I've never seen him, he's never seen me, but he knows where I live at now and he knows where I have lived and five other husbands.
Yep.
Amen. But I'm saying to you, he pointed out the sin. He drew attention to the sin and reproved her for the sin. You with me? We must take, and if you ever get saved by the grace of God, you must receive the rebuke and the reproof and the exposure of your sin for what it is. Not argue and debate and fuss with God. Not argue with the preacher. I'm not all that bad. You're worse than you think you are. Amen? Jesus said, "You're a dog." And she said, "Truth, Lord." She humbled herself under the mighty hand of God. And there, watch what goes on. She said, "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." My, what a statement. The dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. This master's table they're talking about now, it's not a table that potatoes and beans and meats on. It's the table we're talking about that the master set for Israel.
Right.
The children's table. The master's table that he set and brought the Messiah into the world and presented himself to Israel to save them from all their sins. But they rejected him. They pushed the food off the table and rejected the meal that God provided. They rejected the bread of life. They rejected the water of life. They pushed him aside. This woman said, the dogs eat the rejected crumbs.
That's right.
Fall from the table. That's you and I, brother.
Yeah. Amen.
Saved by the grace of God. The crumbs of God's grace, though provided for Israel, Israel rejected him. But the Gentile dogs believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of our soul. He talks about the power of her faith. Verse 28, watch what he says. Jesus said, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman." You know that O, just one letter. O. Didn't have to be there. He could have just said woman. But he didn't just say woman. He said, "O woman." He, in this word, O is a word of emotions. It's a word of approval. It's a word of praise. Oh, woman, this is what I've been looking for from Israel. But I don't find it in Israel. But I find it among the dogs. You and I, Gentiles we are. Said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The approval of Jesus Christ over the humility and faith of this woman. Persistent in her need. She had a daughter that was vexed with the devil. And there was no cure outside of divine intervention. And she knew that. She called upon him. Though he rebuked her and reproved her. But yet she humbled herself and said, "Oh, Lord, that's me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. The wages of sin is death. That's my wage. That's what I've earned. Death and hell." Amen. We must receive the reproof of the Word of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. We must receive the reproof of the Word of God and the condemnation of the Word of God about our sin and our destiny to come.
Right.
We must humble ourselves and say, "Truth, Lord. That's me.
That's
right. Amen. That's me, a sinner. I ought to go to hell."
Right.
But the dogs eat the crumbs, fall off the table. Amen. And Jesus said, "Oh, woman. You've got great faith."
Amen.
Go to Mark 7. You see, he says there that "I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel."
Right.
Amen. The people that he came, his own covenant people. It's the nation of people that he created for the purpose of bringing himself into this world. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. The very covenant people of God had no faith in Jesus Christ. But here's a dog that's got faith. That's you and I, brethren. Amen. That are Gentile dogs, nothing in nobody's.
Right.
We had no Bible.
Right. Right.
Amen. The gospel we believe and the gospel we preach is the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the Jew first.
Amen.
And also to the Greeks. Amen.
Yes.
To the Jew first. Amen. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first. To the Jew first. Amen. Then to you and I, the dog. And they rejected, the Jews rejected. They pushed it away. We don't want. Matter of fact, they said of Jesus, we'll not have this man to rule over us. We let his blood be upon us and our children. We don't want anything to do with him. Away with him. Crucified. And they pushed Jesus Christ away. In the process of that, they damned their own souls to hell. But they pushed the crumbs, they pushed the bread of life, they pushed the water of life down to the table where the Gentile dogs and nobody like me and you could receive and have the benefit of the redemption of Jesus Christ. What a Savior we have. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad He cares about the dogs. Amen. That are around the table. And He'll save whosoever will. Let Him come. If you're not saved tonight, God will save you. God will save you. If you'll take your place as a condemned sinner, believe that Jesus Christ truly loves you and died on the cross for your sin, rose again for your justice. If you'll trust that, trust what He done for you, He'll save you just as sure as you breathe it.
Amen.
Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. Crumbs of grace. I'm glad there's enough crumbs around for everybody. There's enough crumbs for whosoever will let him come. God's got enough grace. It's never exhausted. It's always available. Tonight, as we get ready for an invitation hymn, I'm going to have a word of prayer and turn the service back over to the pastor. Friend, tonight, if you don't know you're saved, I'd beg you to come to Jesus tonight. He's provided for you if you'll come and trust Him. Christian friend, I don't know what all you need tonight, whatever burden you may bear. But I'm saying to you, God has met your need in that crumb of God's grace for your life. Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, we do thank you. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for the table that you set. Thank you, Lord, for the crumbs that have fallen from that table. Lord, that was so accessible to us as sinners that we can be saved by the grace of God. Lord, I thank you for this congregation of people. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd bless this people tonight. God, you'd cause our hearts to mount up with joy and thankfulness unto thee. For your supply of our need. And Father, I ask tonight if there is, and again tonight, someone that's not saved, Lord, I pray they'd come to know Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the preacher to come. If we'll stand together, have an invitation. If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come.